It's time for Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. The first hour of Sports Time is brought to you by Lexus of Memphis. Here are your hosts, Brett Stats Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome in to Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you. Landon Schmidt producing. We're Sports Time. We're with you for the next 3 hours. A lot to discuss throughout today's show. We'll talk a lot of the Masters as Masters Week rolling right along. The Par 3 contest going on right now. And tomorrow morning, bright and early, we'll get the first round started. We'll make our golf picks a little bit later in our second hour. But we'll talk a lot of Masters. We'll talk some basketballs. The NBA, they're starting to wind down the regular season. Grizzlies, they're in action tonight. The first of the final three road games to wrap up the regular season for them. So we'll talk some basketball, but college and the NBA, baseball, Masters, football, a little bit of everything. But Brett, how are you this afternoon?
Brian, I'm doing well. You going to be up at 6:40 tomorrow morning watching Kiefer and Lee tee it up at the Masters?
I do like Kiefer. I don't think I will be up early enough to watch him. I am planning on waking up, you know, pretty early tomorrow to watch the Masters, but That might be a little before what I'm planning on waking up for.
Kata, Oklahoma, and Ortiz, the next group. You up by then?
What time is that?
That's at 6:50.
I would say 7:30 is probably the earliest I'll be waking up for any match.
7:30 will be in time for Vijay Singh, Matt McCarty, and Rasmus Højgaard.
Okay, yeah, I could do that.
Højgaards.
That's right, I can maybe get behind that, but I want to wake up early and watch as much of the Masters as I can. But when you get into the 6 a.m., that's a little before any time I need to be up.
Yeah, it's a little early for golf fashion. Got baseball and Masters par three on. That's pretty good Wednesday, isn't it?
Yeah, no, a good Wednesday afternoon.
Win of the year last night for our Cardinals.
That's right. Yeah, no, that was huge. So a good
after
win
a tough
for them.
Loss Monday.
Well, that's how the season's going to go, I feel, Brett. It's going to be a lot of those. How
6-5, I'm proud of it.
Oh, no, I think you've got to be happy with the way the season started for the Cardinals, and they're getting started here in a couple minutes, so we'll see what they can do against former pitcher Miles Michaelis, who's on the mound for the Nationals this afternoon. So that should
always
be,
we throw batting practice when he was with the Cardinals. Could not miss some bats, could he?
Hopefully it's batting practice again today. He is off to a rough start with Washington, so hopefully that continues today.
Yeah, boy, he could catch every part of the center of the barrelhead, couldn't he?
He definitely can. So that'll be fun. But yeah, a lot of baseball already underway, a couple of finals, Guardians all over the Royals, and San Diego all over Pittsburgh. So a couple finals already, not a lot of baseball tonight, only two games that will start after we're done with our show, so 6 o'clock or later. So a lot of day baseball today, obviously the Masters. So yeah, if you're looking for some afternoon, some midday action, today's the day for it, and then that's going to carry us into the weekend. More day games tomorrow around Major League Baseball, but obviously the Masters going on tomorrow and Friday, and that will get us the weekend. So, you know, if you were looking for kind of that, I need some day action in my life, you've reached it. The rest of the week is going to be really, really nice with a lot to watch.
Connor Griffin in a new tax bracket with the Pirates, isn't he?
Yeah, a really nice deal for him. 9-year, $140 million. It can get up to $150 million by the time it's all said and done. You know, he got called up last week, and they were pretty much had that deal in place when he got called up. But because of the way Major League Baseball works now, they try to incentivize you to call guys up before giving them the big deal. So it was kind of a little wait to sign the papers, go out there and play a little bit, and now getting that deal finalized. So huge for him, and good for the Pirates to get another star wrapped up, and we'll see what that looks like over the next couple of years.
He's scuffling. He's 19. He's scuffling. Had the big opening day at Pittsburgh game after the call-up. Was really kind of the hero of that, and I didn't get a chance to mention it. Bryant, last Friday, it looked so good to see Pittsburgh packed and rocking, playing the Orioles. Looked like the 79 or the 71 World.
Yeah, no.
You know, how in Pittsburgh, they already did 3 on the sports scene.
Yeah, no, they definitely are. But it was a good scene. It was fun to see so many people out there, and obviously they've got a lot to be excited about with some of these young guys that they're now bringing through, and certainly a lot of excitement for Connor Griffin, like you said, who's kind of struggled to start things off at the plate. But you know, obviously, like you said, 19 years old, I'm all right if he struggles a little bit. You got to know that's coming when he's out there. But it's been pretty good in the field, and you know they really had some issues at that shortstop position in the middle infield. And so to bring him up to at least have that kind of promise and excitement of the future, I know a lot of people in Pittsburgh really excited about that.
And the Pirates, they almost as much as any team in the sport, they want, you know, something done to the collective bargaining agreement. Mm-hmm. They have to have some sanity or they have no hope.
No, and you know, there's already the talk, and was even the talk last year of, you know, Paul Skeens, that, you know, whenever it is able for him to go and get to one of these big time clubs, that he's going to do that. And so, yeah, I mean, they're in one of these spots where they get these really nice players and bring them in and, you know, develop them through their system, or, you know, draft extremely well, and then, you know, you get there and it's almost like, all right, when are they going to leave? And so, you know, I think to be able to wrap up Connor Griffin for 9 years, you know, that's going to be a really long time that he will be a Pittsburgh Pirate, barring obviously any trade or anything. And so, you know, to be able to lock that down certainly gets people excited. But yeah, I mean, who knows what any of these contracts and any of this looks like, you know, once we get through next season and all of the back and forth that will happen there. You know, we talked about the Mariners' top prospect that they locked up a week or two ago, and it seems like a lot of these you know, teams are trying to lock up those top prospects because we really don't know what the future will look like after next season. And so it feels like that's kind of the priority for a lot of these, especially these teams that are operating in these tax brackets.
Right. One of the odd stories of the day, and when we talk golf, we'll get to it with John Goin, Bryson DeChambeau using iron made with 3D printer.
All right.
Okay.
How about that? How did it, like, was he good with it? Did it work?
I mean, what? I don't know how successful it's been.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah.
I've got a friend that bought a set of clubs at Gibson's department store in Far right. City. He had a 7-iron that he could turn into a 4-iron, a pitching wedge. He could hit it from any distance.
Great.
I mean, on the money.
I love that. Yeah, not surprising. I had
but
not seen
not
that
3D
story.
Printer.
No, I haven't seen that story before you just brought it up. But if you had said somebody out on the par 3 contest is using a 3D printed club, I would say, no doubt in my mind, it's Bryson DeChambeau. So,
man with a protractor.
Hey, you know, he is a little weird, and obviously now that he's a big YouTuber, he's kind of likes to think outside of the box and do different things like that. So that really doesn't surprise me very much, but I would love to know how it's worked out for him today.
I know I've told the story because I just marveled at it. It was not the year that Tiger won in 2019, then COVID 2020. I didn't go in 21. It was in 22. It was in 2022. And that year, Tiger was coming back from, you know, the automobile accident.
Yeah.
You know, man, it's been some comebacks for Tiger, hadn't it? Mm-hmm. And he was coming back for that and was a late ad and everybody excited. In that year, Bryson DeChambeau played on Thursday and Friday, did not make the cut, stayed the rest of the weekend in the gallery,
yeah.
Not inside the ropes, in the gallery, bought gear, was just a patron.
Wow.
Walked every step watching Tiger Woods the rest of the weekend.
How about that? That's a really cool story.
That's respect.
No, it definitely is. And so I know he is a guy that, you know, obviously whenever these LIV guys come back over and play in these majors, they become kind of the popular names. And Bryson DeChambeau, he is a very popular name to win it. No, he definitely is goofy, but seems like a lot of people throwing down some cash on Bryson DeChambeau to win it all this weekend. And we'll see. Hopefully he's not out there with a 3D printer on Sunday or Saturday when he's trying to make a run to win it all.
But every champion donates a club to Augusta National for them to have in their display cases. I don't know that they want a 3D printed club.
I don't know if they want it, but I would not be surprised if that's the one he tries to donate.
That'd be the one he'd hand them.
That's right. Oh, hey, this one's special. This one's unique. Here you go, and hands it over to him. So now,
when's the Fred Smith decision? We're getting soon, aren't we?
Tomorrow night is the decision. It was supposed to be today. They had to move it. I don't know exactly the reason why the move. It's some sort of logistics thing. But it was supposed to be this afternoon. I think it was supposed to already happen. I think the original scheduled was Wednesday at 2:30, if I'm not mistaken. That was the original kind of announcement. And then yesterday they changed it, and now I believe it will be tomorrow night at 6:30. If I'm not mistaken. So,
Brian, the Tigers need a hometown star.
Yeah, no, it is. Excuse me, tomorrow at 2:30. Okay. So I might have got. It might have been supposed to be tonight at 6:30, and then change it to tomorrow at 2:30. But tomorrow, Thursday, April 9th, at 2:30. So yeah, I mean, he's the name that, you know, a lot of people assume is going to choose Memphis. You know, that's the favorite on all the recruiting sites. But yeah, you know, to get a local guy to, you know, commit out of high school to Memphis and go be a Tiger, I think would be huge. Because, you know, obviously last year you had a couple of Memphis guys on the team, but, you know, there is a difference between being a guy that out of high school commits and signs with Memphis and then going somewhere else and transferring to Memphis. It's not that big of a difference, but I do think there is a difference there. So, you know, getting a guy that, you know, played here high school and is going his freshman season to be at Memphis, I think we'll get, you know, some excitement around the Memphis fan base.
And I just wonder how big a piece he will be next year, how much they will depend on him, and because it is
much.
Really not a place for freshmen anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of what's becoming in college basketball.
In the sport.
Yeah, and really with Memphis, we've seen over the last couple of years with, you know, true freshmen that Penny Hardaway brings in, you know, they don't get a, you know, defined role to start the season. You know, they're more kind of towards the end of the bench and come in and in different situations. And so, yeah, I mean, that's what I would expect Fred Smith to be if he is at Memphis next year, is kind of a rotation guy, you know, gets a handful of minutes here and there. Now, he could certainly go out there and earn a lot more minutes, but, you know, just based on what we've seen recently with Penny Hardaway, I would not expect him to be kind of one of those core starter pieces as a true freshman. But definitely some excitement building to tomorrow and once we ultimately get that decision. I guess now looking at when that time will be, by the time we start the show tomorrow, we will know where Fred Smith is going to play college basketball and if it will be the Memphis Tigers.
All indications it will be.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. Obviously, it's been, you know, kind of a while of waiting. You know, a lot of people thought he would make his decision a lot sooner, but waiting, and now tomorrow we will see what that will be. But you're already seeing a lot of names pop up with guys that are receiving interest from the University of Memphis, but nothing crazy so far in terms of reports of any commits or anything for Memphis. It's been very quiet for kind of everybody in college basketball, as I think a lot of these guys were told, go and wait a couple days before ultimately announcing that you're committing, so that there isn't any clear indication of you know, stuff happening before the portal actually opens. So I expect we'll start seeing more and more commitments later tonight, tomorrow, the next day. But, you know, a lot of eyes on what this Memphis staff will do, and some of the guys, you know, you're seeing a lot of kind of low major, mid major guys that are getting offers from Memphis or at least receiving interest. And so, you know, we'll see over these next couple days and weeks what this roster starts to take shape and what it starts to look like for Penny Hardaway.
We're going to talk some college football today. Not a lot, but just start with some spring checking in with people. And our friend Brad Crawford at CBS Sports, he did the big deep dive 1 through 68 of all the Power Conference quarterbacks. Mm. And Notre Dame. He has listed number one, Dante Moore against Oregon. I love Brad Crawford. You know I do. I love everything Brad stands for personally too, away from his business. Love Brad. So this is not a shot at all. Did Brad watch Dante Moore against Miami?
Well, that's a good question.
Number two, Julian Sayin. Mm-hmm. Did we watch Julian Sayin against Miami?
No.
Number three, Arch Manning. Mm-hmm. He didn't play Miami. Mm-hmm. Number four, Trinidad Chambliss. Mm-hmm. He played Miami and played really well.
Yeah, he did.
Number five, Darian Mensah. You want a corny joke?
Sure.
Wonder if he's a member of the Mensah Society.
Sorry, okay. All right.
Is that okay? Number six, C.J. Carr. Seven, Gunnar Stockton, our 3:30 guest. I will ask her about that. Everybody, you're sleeping on Gunnar Stockton.
Sorry, I'm sorry, Brett. I haven't been able to listen. Who was where is Gunnar Stockton at?
Seventh.
Okay.
Seventh. Behind CJ Carr.
Okay, gotcha.
And Darian Mensah of the Mensah side. Really smart guy.
I love it. Yeah.
Went to Duke.
And Tulane.
proof positive. Tulane and Duke.
They don't let me walk on campus at either place. No, but yeah, he's been at both those. And now
if your name Mensah, you got to be a genius, don't you?
You automatically get a scholarship to both of those places. That was good, Red. I will give you credit for that. But
right up there with my Adele joke.
No, that was the Adele joke was phenomenal. Yeah, I had not heard that before. That was really good. Yeah, I mean Dante Moore. He feels like kind of the hot quarterback right now going into next season. Just and I really do think the main reason is because and you know, I just now was able to pull up the story from Brad Crawford, and it says, you know, ahead of the 2026 NFL draft early entry deadline, Moore stunned most by announcing his return to the Ducks as a projected top five pick. So I think a lot of people look at that and you know, say, man, this was a guy that, you know, all indications said he would have been the second quarterback taken and probably the second pick in the NFL draft if he had stayed. Now coming back to Oregon, I think getting a lot of hype around that just because of that decision. Now also, you know, I will say, at least for me personally, there's a lot of times I forget about Oregon up there because they're playing so late and they kind of get lost in the shuffle. And you know, Dante Moore had a really solid year.
Sure did. Great
last
player.
Season. But I do think
I don't think he's better than Trinidad or Stock.
Sure. And you know, I think you can make that argument about, you know, a couple of these guys up at the top, and certainly you got to number three, and you know, Arch Manning, it's kind of been the love fest around the country with Arch Manning ever since before he even stepped foot on a college campus. It was Arch Manning going to be the next big thing, and you know, he hasn't shown a ton but continues to be at the top of these quarterback rankings.
I do firmly agree with Brad in his description, his first sentence about Arch. He said, if you think this is too high, then admit it. Mm-hmm. You watched the bad Manning highlights in September, decided on your take, and then never mm-hmm. tuned in again. Yeah. From October 10th on, he was as advertised.
Yeah, you saw.
And the offensive line grew.
Yeah, no, I mean, you saw the improvements, certainly, for Arch Manning. And now it's the question of can he put an entire season of that together and become kind of what everybody thought he would be the second he stepped foot on campus. You know, it's just, you know, yet to be seen from him. But I mean, looking at this, really the top, you know, 5, 6, 7, even the top 10, we're gonna have some really, really fun quarterback play next season in college football. There's some really good names up here.
The Trinidad Chambliss superpower is his thinking ability. Mm-hmm. He's got all the gifted mm-hmm. athletic ability and been very, very, very well coached by last year by Lane Kiffin and Joe Judge. And by Charlie Weiss last year, and will be this year by the new offense coordinator and Joe Judge and Pete Golding mm-hmm. watching over the program. But the really, real, real superpower, he just does not turn it over.
No.
His ability to think, mm-hmm. get out of a bad play, get into a good one, he's at the top of the heap of thinking, man, quarterback, I think the most poised under pressure Ole Miss quarterback I've ever seen.
Wow. Holy cow, that is certainly high praise. So, yeah, it's going to be fun as, you know, it's starting. We're kind of getting there. As spring ball is starting to wrap up, a lot of places you're starting to see a lot more lists and people starting to put things together.
Yeah, I know who's played quarterback at Ole Miss.
Well, yes, there's been some good
I know
ones
anybody wants to offer up a name,
sure.
But yes.
Wow, I mean, that really is high praise. So we'll definitely, like you mentioned, talk some Georgia football here in a second, but we've got a busy show. So let me set it up before we get to top and not top story of the day. 3:30, Kaylee Mansell from Dog Nation. She'll join us. A lot to talk about with her. We'll talk some Georgia football, get kind of a spring football update, talk about their quarterback, talk about what they did in the offseason to bring guys in. We might talk some Georgia basketball as well for a quick second with the ugly exit for them in the NCAA tournament, but also Masters going on down in Georgia, so we got to get some Masters talk with Kaylee before we let her go. 3:45, we'll talk some Major League Baseball. Already a lot of day baseball going on around the country. We'll talk about some of those games, the action that went down last night, including a base brawl between the Angels and the Braves.
Boy, it was some haymakers thrown. I didn't see any landed.
I was about to say, nothing landed, but oh boy, they were
If they had, somebody had been dead.
Oh yeah, no, they were They were certainly throwing punches for sure. Now the suspension.
It was a melee, wasn't it?
It definitely was. It was. You know, we always kind of talk about these sports brawls, sports fights. No, that one was out there for sure.
I really do.
It's something else. But
it says something about me. I know, but I do like it.
Definitely not. But we'll talk about that. We'll talk about Connor Griffin, his new deal, and all of the baseball action across MLB. 4 o'clock. John Goen from Timber Trust. He'll join us. We'll talk a lot of golf. We'll start previewing the Masters, and then we'll get to golf picks that time of year again.
No longer friends when it gets to golf picks.
No, it stops there.
It's the most contentious banner.
No, it definitely is. There's no question about it. And so
barely friends after that banner goes up to somebody.
Let the love happen in this first hour, because at 4 o'clock it comes to a screeching halt when John joins. I think it's John that brings it. You know, I think
really,
you know, when we get him on the phone, it's like something changes over the entire show. So it'll be a lot of fun with John at 4 o'clock, 4:30. Talk the NBA and the Grizzlies. Grizzlies in action later tonight, so we'll talk about their game tonight, but also a lot of stories around the NBA. 4:45, we'll get to big number of the day. 5 o'clock, Kevin Sweeney from Sports Illustrated. He'll join us, talk college basketball. We'll take a look back at the season, at the national championship game, start talking transfer portal. It'll be our final visit with Kevin Sweeney on a weekly basis, so a lot to get to at 5 o'clock. 5:30, we'll talk about what's trending, and at 5:45, we'll wrap up today's show like we always do with Moe's Crunch Time. Let me remind you, we're in our Family Leisure Studios, where family and fun come together. The Floor Model Spa Sale, it's going on right now at Family Leisure. It's time to make room. Deep discounts on over 100 display models and in-stock hot tubs, swim spas, and cold plunges. Have you been dreaming about a new spa? Well, now is the time to buy. Spas as low as $99 a month, with over $1,000 in free upgrades with every spa purchased. $8,000 spas, only $159 a month, with free LED lights and a waterfall available on most models. So head out there to Family Leisure, 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40.
We are Sports Time. Bryant, Brett, Landon, whole gang here live and local and with you until 6 o'clock. And we want you to be a part of our show by texting or calling 901-360-8255. That's the Sissy's Law Cabin text and talk line. All our guests will join us on the Sissy's Law Cabin guest line at 901-360-8255, live and local from our Family Leisure Studios. And this hour brought to you every day by Lexus of Memphis at 2600 Ridgeway and online at lexusofmemphis.com. Great offers on all 2026 models and always special leasing options. Drive in luxury and confidence knowing that every new Lexus comes with complimentary first and second maintenance services. You can call them at 901-334-9673, but they want you to stop by the only Lexus dealership in town at 2600 Ridgeway, and that's where you can put yourself in the driver's seat of the all-new 2026 flagship LS500, and you'll be looking, you'll be driving in style. When you purchase a Lexus, you get top-of-the-line engineering and design, and that makes for the safe, luxury driving experience. Online at lexusofmemphis.com. Experience amazing at Lexus of Memphis.
Top story of the day.
Well, my top story of the day, it is the NBA as we start to wind down this regular season. For a lot of teams, it will be the final couple of games that they play this year. That includes the Memphis Grizzlies, who are on the road tonight against the Denver Nuggets. That game scheduled for an 8 p.m. start. But on the flip side of that, there are a lot of teams trying to finalize where they will be in the standings, and still some things to be decided. But you look at the top of both the Eastern and Western Conference, I think we are shaping up to have a really fun NBA playoffs. Over in the West, we know how strong it is. We're OKC at the top, but not far behind them, the San Antonio Spurs. And speaking of the Spurs, over the weekend they had that big game against the Nuggets, and now Victor Wembanyama out with an injury. But it feels like everyone thinks the top two of Oklahoma City and San Antonio can go the furthest, but we've seen that they can be beatable and how strong some of these other teams are. Over in the Eastern Conference, it's Detroit at the top, but it feels like everybody is in agreement that Boston is the best team in the East right now after getting Jason Tatum back. But then you have the Knicks. How far do they go, and what happens after an exit? If it's an early exit, are there questions about yet again another coaching change or maybe changes to that roster? I think the Knicks are going to be one of the more fascinating teams to watch over over the NBA playoffs because of those very things. What happens if it is an early exit after making the Eastern Conference Finals last year and then making a coaching change after that? Then you've got the Cleveland Cavaliers. It wasn't long ago that we thought Cleveland was set up to make an NBA final and go on one of these big runs out of the East. So I think you even go to some of these teams in both sides of the play-ins. I think we could have some really fun play-in games, but it really is shaping up to, I think, be a lot of fun. Now, on the flip side of that, you're seeing the commissioner come out and say that changes are going to be made for tanking. Votes could happen in May about what will happen in the future for tanking and some of those tanking teams, including the Grizzlies. But it feels like a lot going to happen over the next month, but it should be a lot of fun in the NBA.
Draymond took a brief respite from ripping on Memphis and ripped on the tanking, didn't he?
How about that? I mean, you gotta. I don't know. I guess at least he gave it a breather on Memphis. But I guess you gotta have something to say if you're Draymond.
That's right. My top story: golf balls in the air early tomorrow morning for the 90th Masters. 91 competitors, no Phil, no Tiger. That's 8 of the last 89 previous Masters green jackets handed out. Scottie Scheffler going for his 3rd at Augusta National. Rory McIlroy going for back-to-back. Bryson DeChambeau trying to add a green jacket to those 2 U.S. Open titles. Xander Schauffele win a Masters on Sunday and then win a U.S. Open in June. Mm-hmm. Bada-bing, yeah. Career Grand Slam. Wow. Just like that. It's not that hard, Rory.
No, not hard at all. I mean, that would be awesome if he did that. I'll be curious to see what Rory does over these next couple days.
Not top story of the day.
Well, that's my not top story of the day as well. The Masters getting started already. Some fun stuff happening today with the par 3 contest. But we know tomorrow morning really is when the fun starts. While I will not be up for the first group teeing off bright and early in the morning. If you're up that early, if you're an early bird,
I'll be live tweeting it.
There you go,
Brett. You can catch up with me.
That's exactly what I need. I need somebody out there live tweeting it, but it is going to be a lot of fun. The unofficial start of the golf season for a lot. You already see, as always, picture perfect scenes out at Augusta for the Masters, and really excited about what these next 4 days have in store. Obviously, the big names are all over the place with Scottie. I saw earlier today a lot of bets on Bryson DeChambeau as these live guys come back over to participate in the Masters. You hear so much about the previous experience is what helps these guys ultimately win the Masters. So which one of these guys? Will it be a guy that's already won it before, winning it yet again, or will it be one of these new names that have played this course but just haven't been able to win the whole thing? I think a lot of storylines and a lot of fun over these next 4 days.
My not top story, we're weak in counting, and I think I can quit counting, and still no formal statement, no anything, no defense, no denunciation, no renouncement, no anything from the Grizzlies and Robert Parra about how they feel with Memphis being a punching bag, a laughingstock, a pinata, just letting us twist out there. How about a 2-sentence defense by them of a place they've called home for 25 years? Is that too much to ask? I don't think so. Sign the lease.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's priority number one. And hopefully it's the first thing they get done once the offseason finally starts after this week. But that'll do it for top and not top story of the day. Let's get to our first break. And when we return, Kaylee Mansell from Dog Nation, she'll join us. We'll talk Georgia sports and some Masters. We do that next on Sports Time.
Not only can you listen to your favorite shows on Sports 56, you can also watch video of the shows live on Twitter and YouTube. Watch and listen every day at Sports 56 WHBQ. Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Lexus of Memphis. Here are your hosts, Brett Stats Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome back in Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you. And we've got to talk some Georgia football, maybe a little basketball as well. Also some Masters. Kaylee Mansell from Dog Nation, she joins us now. Kaylee, thanks so much for joining us. A lot going on out in Georgia, especially this week with all the Masters action going on. But Georgia football, spring practice underway. What do you feel like is the biggest storyline or storylines for this Georgia team throughout spring ball?
Yeah, guys. Hi. Always happy to come on. There's really no such thing as the off season. You're going through spring practice, Masters, basketball. I mean, it really is 25-8. There is truly no off season when it comes to college football. Right now, Georgia's got about a week left until their official spring game. Just had their first scrimmage last Saturday. They'll have their final one this Saturday. I mean, I think the biggest difference between this spring and last spring is we know exactly who the quarterback is. It's going to be Gunnar Stockton for sure. So there's different areas where we're really focusing on. There's two primary position battles going on for the Dogs right now. That's at wide receiver on the offensive side of the ball. Georgia returns just one wide receiver this year that scored a touchdown in any Georgia game across the board. So you're replacing a lot of production with guys like Zachariah Branch, Dylan Bell, Colby Young. So really looking to see, are they going to make use of transfers that they brought in, like the Georgia Tech wide receiver Isaiah Canyon, or are they going to lean more on some of the young talent that they've brought in from the high school ranks, guys like former five-star Talon Taylor, former four-star C.J. Wiley, who's from the state of Georgia. Really, that's going to be the big question mark, is who is Gunnar Stockton going to be throwing the ball to when things go wrong? And then on the defensive side of the ball, we're really looking at that safety group this year. The only guaranteed starter as of this moment is going to be K.J. Bolden, a two-year starter heading into his junior season. Georgia brings in three guys from the portal that were all safeties, but they did the exact same thing last spring, and none of those guys ended up playing. So right now the big question marks are around the wide receiver position and the safety group. That's what we're looking at this spring so far.
Kaylee, you just changed a couple of plays the last 3 years, just a couple, and Kirby Smart's got another one or two national championships and to go with the two he's already won. He's at two. Do you feel like the Georgia fans are satisfied, I don't mean it like this, with just two, or is it always wanting more?
Well, I think it's a tough position to be in because so early on in his career, I mean, Kirby Smart set the bar as high as the bar can go. And then that's in the midst of some of the biggest changes we've seen in college football when you add NIL and expanded playoff into the mix. I mean, some of that expectation has to change. I think the Georgia fans would take Kirby Smart over anyone else. I think that any college football program would give up their head coach if they had the chance for Kirby Smart. So it's like a rock in a hard place almost, where you know you've got the best guy, but it just feels like they haven't been able to take that extra step or make that adjustment in this modern era of college football to get back to what it was in 2021 and 2022. But I think that they're a lot more confident in this year's group as opposed to last year. So I actually thought that the reaction from fans after the Sugar Bowl loss, I thought they would take it harder. I thought we were going to be talking people off the ledge. But at the end of the day, I think the respect for how Trinidad Chambliss played maybe smoothed some of those things over. So, yes, the expectation for Georgia and Kirby Smart is always going to be a national championship. I'd like to think that maybe he gets one more before he retires. But I will say, just headed into this upcoming season, I don't think fans are as disappointed as I initially thought they were going to be.
Kaylee, that respects both ways. Gunnar Stockton, seeing him twice in person last year, I could watch him every game, winner on, off the field. We were just going over a list of quarterbacks next year, and we love Brad Crawford. This is not a shot at him, but he has Gunnar as seventh. There's no way there's six quarterbacks better than him.
I mean,
in the country.
I really think it depends on what given day it is, because there were times last season where I thought he looked like, you know, if not the best, number two or number three. And then there were other times, especially during the later parts of the season, when you think about games like Georgia Tech, where I thought he severely underperformed. Now, I think that ranking is probably maybe not on par with what I would do. I would say somewhere in the top five, but I don't think I would put him necessarily in the top three just based on the consistency factor. But when you come into the season knowing who your starting quarterback is going to be, that takes an extra layer of stress, and you can focus on the skill players around him. But I think what it comes down to for Gunnar, and it's a shame because during spring, you don't really hear much about the starting quarterback. They want to do PR for the backup quarterback. So we really haven't heard a ton about what Gunner's done because they're trying to push what the backup quarterback can be. For him, can he throw the ball downfield consistently? Can he get over that fear of turning over the ball? Because I thought there were some moments last season where he didn't take the risk and fear of turning the ball over. And I understand that. But when you think about the overtime win at Tennessee, Gunner took that game over in the second half completely because he took shots downfield. I thought we saw less and less of that as the season went on. So I think for Gunner, I mean, really a lot of the success of this program this season is going to be dependent on him and if he can make those explosive passes.
Absolutely. Talking to Kaylee Mansell, she joins us from Dog Nation, where she covers the Georgia Bulldogs. Over on the basketball side of things, it was a first-round loss for the Bulldogs against St. Louis. What was the reaction to that result, to that loss from the fan base, and kind of what is the conversation like going into this offseason around Mike White and this team?
And Kaylee, it cost me on this show, our producer, Landon, that caught up with you. He had SLU in the first round, and I had Georgia, and he ended up beating me by one. If we could have swapped those, I would have been bracket champion.
Oh, wow. Oh, man, I hate that for you. But those 8-9 matchups are hard in general. I missed out on a lot of those on my bracket this year. The reaction from the Georgia fan base about how that game turned out is what I imagined it was going to be like when Georgia lost the Sugar Bowl. I mean, we were having to talk people off the ledge on the show. It was almost so disappointing to the point where it was comical. And it was like you give the fan base this glimpse of hope that, okay, maybe the basketball program is taking a turn, because it is historically one of the worst basketball programs in the SEC. You get a new coach, make the tournament one year. The expectation is that you go a little bit further and you get a little bit better with each year. It was just embarrassing. I mean, I turned that game off at halftime because I thought I was going to bleed out of my eyes. It was so bad. And as a former basketball player, it's just easy to judge those small things. Mm-hmm. The shot selection was awful. You could just tell that the effort level wasn't there. So, I mean, the immediate reaction from everyone, and it's like this for any sport, you put the blame on the coach. So everybody wants to blame Mike White, and I understand that. But then you listen to insiders who work for different networks and different media sites, and they're like, just give him time. Because in basketball, I mean, the turnover rate's insane, because you've got guys that can go to the league after 1 year, and then transfer portal is just absolutely madness. So I think after everything kind of smoothed over a few days, they were like, okay, I don't know who else Georgia would take in this instance. So I really think that right now the shot clock is on Mike White. What does he do in this following season? How do you follow up on that horrendous loss? Can you take it any further? So right now there's a little bit of patience, but that patience is going to wear really thin if they can't be more successful in this next season.
Kaylee, I know there's not a jock dorm anymore, athletics dorm anymore, but please tell me, somewhere on campus, these two great names out of Central Casting, Cash Jones and Blue Kane, they've got to be buddies. Please tell me they're friends.
They've both been in the Georgia programs for a long time, so I don't know if they have a relationship, but I would imagine that they have crossed paths at some point, because you just want to talk about, like you said, legendary names in general. We were just talking about a recruit earlier that Georgia's going after. It's a 4-star tight end, number 2 tight end for the class of 2027. His name is Jackson Dollar. And I was like, Georgia's got to get him for the fact alone that they're getting rid of Cash Jones. You have to add another money name into the mix on this team.
That's right. Keep the currency rolling. We're visiting with Kaylee Mansell, and it is always a blast. I saw your dad on the Paul Feinbaum show the other day, and this week, like all of us that are so proud and love it so much, he had on a Masters shirt. You're only 2 hours away. You were fortunate enough growing up to literally cut your teeth on the Masters and what this week means.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, I have never had the opportunity to go to the Masters. I actually had a chance to go tomorrow, but I'm staying back here in the Dog Nation studio to host our morning show while our host is out on vacation. So sometimes duty calls, but I will say the influence expands all over the state. I mean, every Monday, the week that the Masters starts, you go to work, you go to a restaurant, you go get coffee, and everybody's in Masters gear. And if they don't have the Masters logo, then they're wearing green. I mean, it really is a celebration of its own across the entire state. And I know my sister and her fiance already ordered the Masters hosting kit that they do. So they'll partake in that. And so even though I haven't had the chance to go, I mean, the legacy and the tradition, if you haven't been, you know exactly what it is that you're getting yourself into, because it is so traditional and they really preserve the things that make the Masters what it is. So hopefully I'll get the chance to go one day, but it really is one of my favorite sporting events to watch. It's on my bucket list of things I want to do. It's at the very top. There really is just nothing like it. And I mean, just the culture surrounding it, that even if you've never been, even if you don't live in the state of Georgia, you know what the Masters is.
And Kaylee, I would kind of chuckle for years when the chairman of Augusta National was Billy Payne, proud Georgia Bulldog. But Bobby Jones is forever going to be Georgia Tech founder. So this week, Tech and Georgia can lay down the rivalry for a week, can't they?
Yeah, it's funny. They actually asked Kirby about Georgia players or former Georgia Bulldogs in the Masters. He had absolutely no clue. There's five participating this week. I would love to see a Georgia guy win it. Bubba Watson won it in the last, I think, 13 years? So it'd be cool to see that glory restored. But, I mean, to be honest, we had to turn in our Masters picks today, and I am taking Ludvig Åberg. I like a young guy to win it this year. So I had Rory last year, but I don't think that's necessarily fair of me to give myself the credit, because I took Rory every year until it was finally his moment. So eventually, if you keep throwing out hot takes, one's got to land, right?
That's right.
Ludvig, a Texas Tech guy, they're going to be in the playoff again, too. So kind of college football and golf coinciding.
Well, I would hope so. They're spending a lot of money on that roster, so you got to reap the benefits of it.
That's right.
Yeah, Kaylee, have you not heard the news? Cody Campbell's rich. I mean, everybody only tells us that with every story.
Yeah, I mean, we even saw variances of that throughout this past recruiting season, because the number one player in the state of Georgia, LaDainian Guyton, a five-star edge who ended up reclassifying into 2026 out of Benedictine Military School. You know, Georgia was in the mix for him for a long time, but he ended up signing with Texas Tech, which felt very random in the early parts of that recruitment. But as you hear more and more about the backing, the financial backing and the boosters that they have, it's like, okay, this is one of those schools now that's going to be a contender with Georgia's top recruits. In the past, it's been schools like Oregon and Miami, Texas and Ohio State, the usual suspects. But now you're just adding another school into the mix that is going to compete for the most elite five stars of each recruiting cycle.
Yeah, it's crazy out there in this new day and age of college athletics. But Kaylee, as always, thanks so much for joining us. Always a lot of fun to get you on, and we'll definitely have to do this again soon.
Yeah, hopefully we'll have the chance to talk after the spring game. With that, thank you guys so much for having me on. Always, it's always such a pleasure, and I hope you guys enjoy watching the Masters this week.
Thanks, Kaylee. Thank you so much, Kaylee. We really appreciate it. Thank you.
Kaylee Mansell joining us from Dog Nation. Always fun to have her on. She obviously knows her stuff when it comes to the Bulldogs, both
picking
football
Ludvig.
And basketball. I like that. You know how I like Ludvig.
We might hear that again in about 35 minutes.
Well, I'm sure we will. I'm sure somebody will take Ludvig in the first round, or at least I hope. I guess you can't take him in the second round, but so hopefully somebody takes him.
No, he's the top four picker. He doesn't go.
That's right. That's right. Outside of top 20 for that second pick, that shock pick. So going to be a lot of fun here. And yeah, about 20, 25 minutes when we get to those picks with John Goen. But right now, we need to get to another break. When we return, Major League Baseball all over the place today. Had some games last night as well. So when we return, we're talking MLB. That's next on Sports Time.
You have opinions?
I think it's over.
Of course you do.
I don't think it's that simple.
Everyone does.
I got all the answers.
Hit us up on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener line at 360-8255. Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Lexus of Memphis. Here are your hosts, Brett Stats Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Well, Major League Baseball all over the place today, as we've got a bunch of day action. Pretty much most of the games today happening either already final or going on right now, getting ready to start. Only four more games that have not started, two of them starting at 5:40, the other two a little bit after 6 o'clock. So not a lot of night action, but all the talk today has not been on any of the actual baseball being played today or last night. It was the base brawl that we had in L.A. Jorge Soler, Ronaldo Lopez going at it, as Soler, he hit a home run his first at bat, got hit the second at-bat, and then his third at-bat looked like he was being thrown at, did not take kindly to it, charged the mound, and the rest is history. Those two going after it, everyone else coming in, but some haymakers being thrown, none connected. But my favorite part of the story was Walt Weiss out of nowhere coming in and tackling Jorge Soler, and then to come to find out he's a black belt in Taekwondo, so he knows how to take somebody down, and did that last night.
Open field tackle, wasn't it?
That's right, it sure was. I mean, it was. He got those hits.
Why did he hang on to the ball and keep punching with the ball in the hand?
I love that idea. I've never seen it before, but as I think about it some more.
Hey, it's a gigantic hand.
It's a very big hand. Here's the thing, Brett. If I'm a pitcher, my hands are very important to me for obvious reasons. I don't want to be throwing punches with my hand. If I've got a baseball, I mean, look, I've never been hit by a baseball in terms of like that. Like someone just like swinging a baseball at me, but a baseball is not a soft object. It's pretty hard. If you're coming down just trying to hit, I feel like it could do a little bit of damage.
And didn't he keep his glove on the other hand?
He did. Yeah, no, he was not.
So he stayed in the ready position.
I like that. I mean, smart. Don't use your fist. Just use what you got attached to your fist, I guess.
It was some of the wildest swinging.
It was crazy.
Nothing landed.
No, nothing. I think at one point the baseball like might have caught Soler's helmet, but like that was the most of anything that got connected. So no, it was wild. Now both guys getting a 7-game suspension, fines attached to it. So
which impacts the everyday player much more.
Yeah, which is I always think that's weird when it comes to the pitchers being suspended, because I mean 7 days he's gonna miss one start. Like okay, I mean I guess, but you know, Soler is gonna miss 7 actual games where he would be in the lineup every single day, whereas you know the pitcher in any of these situations, they're not out there every day. They're only out there about once a week.
We've used the respect word a couple of times a day, and you could see it last night. Did you see one of the real peacemakers, an opposing player, not in anybody's face, but getting people to back down? Mike Trout.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
I did not see that.
You know, usually in that, you hold your guys back, and we'll hold our guys back. Don't say or touch my guys.
Yeah.
But Mike Trout was kind of not in one's face aggressively, but just playing peacemaker.
Interesting. Yeah, I missed that. Yeah, I've seen the highlights around. I'm still mad that I'm not able to watch any Braves games this year. So I was when I heard that was going down, I was like, oh, let me get my phone, let me go and watch it to see kind of the build up and everything, and I can't watch Braves games live. So
I shouldn't say I like a baseball brawl, because you can be very seriously injured. There have been careers ended and altered at the bottom of those piles. Mm-hmm. Lupinella picked up Spaceman Lee and dropped him on his shoulder, and he was never effective again pitching.
Yeah, well, but let's be honest, Brett. We all kind of like a brawl in sports every now and then. I mean, you like to see the guys get
usually in August in the dog days when you've seen each other a bunch and you're mad at each other.
Well, it's weird. It must be something in the water around Major League Baseball. I mean, Contreras the night before, he was going after Milwaukee.
Well, he runs hot, but I don't blame him. He gets hit a lot.
He does.
But when you stand on top of the plate.
That's true. That is.
And you've got a body of armor on.
Yeah. I do love it, though, because obviously his brother, the catcher for the Brewers, I saw somebody was like, I mean, why didn't he just like talk to his brother and be like, hey, like, can we figure something out of me?
Quit ordering up the hits.
But I love the idea, and I started thinking about this after I saw, I think someone on social media pointed that out. I love the idea of William Contreras being like, guys, let's just hit him every time he comes up. Like, that would be hilarious if the brother's just like, look, he hates it. Let's just hit him every time he comes to the plate.
There's a Cardinal Cub brawl in the 70s. I mean, it was just people everywhere.
Really?
They couldn't get it broken up. One of my favorite Cardinal brawls, Mike Shannon slides in hard against the Braves, and they had all fielding, no hitting, really slight guy. Felix Mion was the shortstop. Mike Shannon just beat the hell out of him.
Wow. Really?
Right there at second
base.
I
love that. Oh, that's great. But yeah, no, the
Felix Mion wasn't going to whip Mike
Shannon. No. A little bit of an advantage and disadvantage there, I would say. But no, it's been a wild couple of days around Major League Baseball. But Brett, don't look now. Who's this guy batting in place of Jordan Walker? 3 home runs in the last 4 games entering today. He has been red hot, hitting .300 on the season. So
see what patience does. I've been very patient with him through the years. said, you know, maybe this year could be that breakout year. Patience does.
Patience is very important. It's a key in life. Everyone needs a little more patience. And yes, you've been very patient with Jordan Walker in his.
I think
career.
One time I said he did nothing well. Doesn't run, doesn't throw.
Yes, I remember having a similar conversation when we were making our baseball picks about Jordan Walker. I don't remember it playing out this exact
He's
way.
He's finally hitting the ball hard and high in the air.
Yeah, even that's a good point because even the ones that aren't home runs. Four home runs on the season so far, but
he had a big loud out last
yeah,
night.
Yeah, he's making really good contact and
deepest
really
part
good
of the ballpark
the season. That's right. But they're in action right now against Washington. Last time I saw a score, they were up 2-0. So maybe another win here for the St. Louis Cardinals. But we need to wrap up this hour. Get to another break. When we return, we're talking all things Masters. John Goen from Timber Trust, he joins us now. We'll do a lot of golf talk, but we'll also get to our golf picks for the Masters, which gets started tomorrow morning. We do that next on Sports Time.